Hello again. Welcome to another one of our Wednesday devotionals. Particularly welcome to church family. Hope you're keeping safe and well. I know I say that at the beginning of each time at the moment, but I genuinely do hope you're all managing to keep safe and well and keep your body and mind and soul together during this time, because it is becoming trying and it's become a difficult time. Just a few things to give you notification of and sort of heads up on for coming weeks. This coming Sunday we're starting a new series in 1 Timothy. That's looking like it's going to be about 12 weeks long. Now we may drop out at some point in the middle of that, and sometimes these things change, so it could be longer, it could be shorter, but I'm thinking there'll be 12 messages on 1 Timothy. At the end of Sunday morning we'll join together around the communion table. Again, we haven't done that actually since the first week of lockdown, so I think it's time we did so again. I know we're not all together, but I think if we all have the elements together and we can partake of that at roughly the same time, then we're engaging in the means of grace together, and we're joining in a communal act of worship. So if you're able to have some bread and wine handy for our Sunday morning service, and just after the message we'll spend a short time around God's the communion table. Next Wednesday as well as the devotional time that I'm hoping to have on the website and on the telephone line, I'm hoping to arrange a conference call so that we can actually have a time together. I know Zoom video conferencing seems to have become the thing of lockdown, but I know many of you don't have internet, so if we can do a conference call, I know of groups and churches who are doing that, so we'll see if we can get together this Wednesday, and we'll do that from time to time going forward, so we actually have some communal contact as well. I'd also welcome anyone from outside the church family who's watching and listening to us. We're well aware from the traffic on our website that there are other people listening and other people watching. So welcome to you. Hope it's of help and benefit to you. Pray that God would speak to you and challenge you as he does us through the word that we hear this evening. I came across an article. I'm not a Guardian reader, but there was an article from The Guardian posted online this week that 1 in 4 people have engaged with some sort of worship service during this time of lockdown. Now the average percentage across the country in normal times is about 3% of people who actually go to church. I think it's even lower than that in Wales. So the thought that 25% of the UK population are engaging with some act of worship. Now some people would say, well, they're just looking for an emotional crutch. Well, that may be, but there are worse places to turn for an emotional crutch in times of strife and difficulty, in times of stress and uncertainty. And just pray that God would meet with those people in that time, that God would prove himself to be real to those people, and that it would be a blessing and a benefit. The other thing that I've noticed actually through lockdown is that people seem to have the desire to engage. I think I've said before, lockdown is just what I've been doing all my life, really. Social distancing is what I do. I'm not a natural engager with other people. But as I've been out walking the dogs, as I've been out on my bike just recently, I seem to have had people just spontaneously engage with me. And I don't think that's because I'm more smiley or happy than I normally am. I think that's just because people need to engage at the moment. I found particularly elderly couples. I've had two elderly couples just spontaneously just start talking to me for no apparent reason. So I think it's important that we learn to engage. I'm not a natural people person. I don't naturally engage with people. I've probably spoken to more people in the last couple of weeks when I'm out and about than I have in the last 20 years. But I think it's important. People need that at this time. And, if we're believers, we need to be a witness in that time. And to that end, we're going to read this evening. We're going to read 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3 in verses 8 to 17. So we're going to read this and then we'll pray, and we'll just spend a short time thinking about these verses. 1 Peter 3 verses 8 to 17. And the Apostle Peter says this: "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, for reviling or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to do this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your heart honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet to do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behaviour in Christ, may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Well, let's pray together. That's the Apostle Peter speaking to believers in the first century who were struggling and being persecuted for their faith. So let's pray together, and then we'll just spend a short time considering those words. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your name this evening. Thank you that we can gather together as your people. Pray that you would encourage us and bless us. Speak to us through your word and challenge us, we pray. Bless all those who are joining us this evening, and pray, Lord, that this will be a word in season for those who need to hear from you even this evening. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I say, speaking to believers who were struggling in their faith, who were being persecuted for their faith, the Apostle Peter gives them those words. Now, for about 4 years, I think, when I was in school, when I was from about the age of 11 to 15, I was in the Boy Scouts, or the Scouts as they were called then. They dropped the boy bit. And the motto of the Scouting movement, I understand the Guides and the Brownies and the Cubs, and I think there's Beavers now as well, is it? I'm not sure. They all have this same motto, be prepared. I said, man, I've never quite understood that. What are you supposed to be prepared for? Are you supposed to be prepared for everything? You can't really be prepared for the unexpected, can you? And no one expects the unexpected. Perhaps that's the Spanish Inquisition, I'm not sure. But no one really expects what's just around the corner because you don't know what it is. But Peter here tells the believers to be prepared. He says, be prepared. To do what? Well, to give account for the hope that lies within you. He tells them this. Be prepared to give account for the hope that lies within you. Be prepared to be a witness. Be prepared to speak a word. Now, we're very fond, aren't we, of those words in Luke chapter 12 that tell us, don't be afraid when you're called to give an account, when you're called to be in front of judges and synagogues to witness for your faith. These people were hauled in front of courts and synagogues and trials day by day and were in fear of their lives. And it's true that in those particular circumstances, God gives the words. And I think we've all used that verse to encourage us when we're trying to witness for our faith, because sometimes words fail us. And it's true that at times when you think you have nothing to say, that God gives those words. I would also say there are times when I crash and burn, and I have no words to say. But Peter here tells the believers to be prepared to give an account. That suggests that they've thought about it, that they've considered what they're going to say. He suggests that they may have thought the arguments through beforehand. We've been doing a series on a Sunday evening. We've only dipped in and out of it because of lockdown, but we've been doing a series on questions that people ask about the Christian faith. And those would fall into what would be known as apologetics. Now, some people have problems with that word because it suggests that we're apologizing for the faith, but that isn't what it means. It comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to put forward an argument, to, in particular, when you're in a court, to give the case for the defense, that you give a reasoned argument for the belief that comes before you. That's exactly what Peter's telling them to do here. Be prepared to give account. Now, we're not all able to argue in depth. We're not all able to express eloquently everything that we believe. But at the end of the day, we all have a testimony. We all have a story of how God has dealt with us personally. And that's something that no one can take away from us. That's the reason for our belief. That's the hope that we have within us. And that's something that no one can take away because it's particular to us. It's personal to us. And I've often found the most powerful testimony or the most powerful witness is just a personal testimony. Well, this is what God did for me. It's something that no one can take away with us. It's what, how God dealt with us. But secondly, he tells them to live a life. To live the life. Be prepared to give account. But in your the way you live, live out the life that you're talking about. In there's a phrase that does the rounds, isn't there? I've seen it recently. Preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Well, some would argue that's nonsense, that you have to use words to preach the gospel effectively. But it is true that people look at our lights. People watch us. There's an old song that says, you're the only Jesus that some will ever see. And people are watching and they will judge and criticise us for things that they wouldn't think twice about doing themselves. But because we nail our colours to the mast and say that we're believers, they will look at our lives. And here's a list of things in verses 8 to 12. Peter gives them a list of things that they should think about and that they should see in their lives. Well, unity, I'm only going to run through them quickly and briefly. Unity, sympathy, love, humility, compassion, not indulging in evil speech or deceit, but indulging in the truth. Turn away from evil and do good, he says. If you want to go and look at verses 8 to 12 later, you can see all those things. And these are the things that should be seen in believers. Why? Well, because they're things that were seen in Jesus. Jesus didn't say, they will know you're believers because you go to church three times on a Sunday. He didn't say that they will know that you are my disciples because you read your Bible out loud or you pray on street corners. He said, they will know you're Christians by your love. And all of those characteristics are things that are seen in him. And that's why Peter tells us that we should expect to see them in ourselves. But finally, having done all that, having been able to give an account, having been able to live the life, we should expect to see something else. And what is that? Well, it's suffering. He was speaking to those who were suffering for their faith. And why should we see suffering in the lives of believers? Well, because Christ suffered. Verse 18 says this, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit. The world hated him. In many ways, the world still hates him, and it will inevitably hate us. It's never been a popular thing to be a true disciple of Jesus. But it was a great comfort to the early church that they followed their Lord in their suffering, that all they were going through was only a picture of all that he'd gone through. And in suffering, they were a witness. They were a picture of his suffering to the world. Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley were two martyrs who died in Oxford, in Broad Street in Oxford, in 1555, I'm sorry. And if you go to Oxford now, there's a cross in the middle of the road. The tarmac is arranged in such a way that you can still see a cross, which is a monument to where these two men, these two godly men, were burned at the stake for their faith under the reign of Mary. It's just near Balliol College, if you go to Oxford, it's worth looking out for. They suffered terribly, but as they were dying, Latimer cried out to Ridley, be of good courage, Mr. Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out. Now, those words are actually on a plaque near the little cross that's in the middle of the road. And it was true that actually that was a bit of a turning point. That public opinion turned against Mary because the public saw these two godly men who were highly thought of suffer so badly for their faith. Well, I hope And I pray that none of us ever has to go through that. But you can guarantee that if we stand for our faith, if we speak for our faith, if we live for our faith, it will attract opposition. People will point the finger, people will accuse. But we stand as witnesses, and in these times particularly, the world needs a witness for Christ. The world needs to know who Christ is. The world needs to see Christ in his church. And as believers, we need to engage with the world and tell the world the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent us to do that as his body in this world. So let's be prepared to give an account. Let's be prepared to live the life. And let's be prepared to suffer the consequences if we need to. We pray that God would light a flame, that God would light a candle through this COVID-19 time, through this time where we can't just go out and do whatever we want to do, through this time where people are uncertain and people are concerned. Just pray that God would move in this land, because if there's ever a time when we need him, it's right now. We'll just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that challenges us, Lord, to live a life that is worthy of your calling, to speak a word in season, and to take the consequences, even as you went to death on a cross for us. So bless us, Lord, in the days to come. Keep us safe, keep us well, keep us healthy. And pray, Lord, that your name would be glorified and that you would light a flame in this generation, that people who have never darkened the doors of church, Lord, would hear your word online, would hear it in messages that are posted on telephone lines and in other ways, and that your name would be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once again, take care. Stay safe, all. Every blessing, and I hope to see you again on Sunday.